All right. Tonight is kind of the peak of everything we've been talking about. And as we come into this here, I know there's a lot of negatives get shared. And I feel like sometimes till the forgiveness part's, rejection part's over, I've just fed people so full of negativeness. But here's where the hope is. That all that stuff we need to recognize. And I don't do that to try and make somebody feel bad, but we need to recognize it so that we can come to this point where we can finally forgive, where we can bring it to the cross and say, I don't want to carry this anymore. I don't want it. It don't belong to us. Jesus paid it all, and we don't need to carry that. So tonight, as we get into forgiveness, think about the stuff that we've been talking about and think about where is it that we need to come to the cross and release that. Does everyone have a book, first of all? I know there's some came in here. Does everybody have a book? Yep. Okay. All right. The Power of Forgiveness. Many of you remember the Amish schoolhouse shooting up in Lancaster. You heard the stories, 2006, I believe it was. And, you know, it impacted America. It impacted the world. And one of the things I want you to think about right up front, and I will allude to it many times tonight, is that they claim that when that happened, they were offering forgiveness before the blood of their children was even dried on the floor of that schoolhouse. Do you think they felt like it? No. Forgiveness is not a feeling. Forgiveness is a choice of the will. Wanting to do something simply because God said it. And because we know that God is right and I am wrong. My feelings most times are wrong when it comes to forgiveness. A lot of people want to forgive if I would just feel like it. God, they cry out to God and say, God, help me feel like forgiving. That's not going to happen. He asks us to make a choice. He wants to change the feelings after we make the choice. We're called to choose to forgive, then he wants to change how we feel about it. So they lived, and by the way, as you think about that, they didn't just get up that morning and their children were all massacred in the schoolhouse. And all of a sudden decide they're going to follow the Lord and choose to forgive. That didn't just happen that day. That's from a lifestyle of forgiveness. Walking in forgiveness, in the littlest things to the biggest things. You can't just wake up one day and just decide that, well, if that ever happens, I'll just be able to forgive. No, you need to start today in all kinds of things. Everything in your life, being able to forgive all the time. And then we will trust God's word that if something like that would ever happen to you or I, that we would be able to forgive, choose to forgive. So, okay, let's get into the book there on page 2, Ephesians 4, 31 to, I went 29 to 32. Whoop. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Then verse 31, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. So how much bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking are we supposed to put away? At least some of it would make me a better person, right? No. It says all. All. Maybe we haven't done that yet. You know, and we got a ways to go. We're on a journey. But we need to recognize that it must all go away. Sooner or later, it's got to all go away. And we want to press toward that end. Doesn't mean it's going to happen overnight. But listen, we're on a journey, and we want it to all go away. So keep on focusing on that. Maybe we're going to fail sometimes. That's a fact. We're going to. But our vision needs to always be on the future, where we are working at letting it all this be put away with all malice. And then be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Okay? Being set free from deep emotional wounds caused by events in our past can only be done by God. You can underline that because it is so true. Being set free from deep emotional wounds caused by events in our past can only be done by God. If you want to do it yourself, you're simply going to pull yourself up by your bootstraps and get broken bootstraps. You can't pick yourself up. So it can only be done by God. And His method of setting us free is through forgiveness. Remember, we'll talk a little bit later about that, but it's the ointment that He gives us to bring healing. Just like when we cut ourselves, we put ointment on it and put a Band-Aid on it. The ointment that God gives us to heal emotional wounds inside is called forgiveness. We don't actually take an ointment and put on, but that's what it is. Same thing. When we're forgiving, it's just like putting ointment on a cut that brings healing. Okay? Forgiveness is a God idea, and it requires God's grace to truly forgive and find healing. So whose idea is forgiveness? Whose idea is forgiveness? God's. We'd like to think it was ours because it makes us good people. But it's actually God's idea. And we need to come in agreement with God. Not trying to do something on our own. Because it's His idea, we need to do it His way. So many times we want to do something that's His idea and we want to do it our way. But we need to do His ideas His way. And we'll keep getting into that. Okay? Oh, here I got it. Forgiveness is a spiritual ointment. Has anybody ever heard of McNess? McNess, okay. My dad used to be a field man for that, almost all over New York for years. He sold McNess. So everything in our house had McNess on it, pretty much, from spices to peppers to you name it, and then all the cattle and pigs and everything else we did always was McNess products. But forgiveness is a spiritual ointment God uses to soothe our emotional wounds. It brings restoration in all three levels of relationship. And I want you to look at this on page 2. It brings restoration in all three levels of relationships. And we talked about this a lot the last three nights. Relationship to God, relationship to others, and relationship to ourselves. Remember the greatest commandment was to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind. And then to love thy neighbor as thyself. How much are we in tune with ourselves to know who we are in Christ? Okay, this ointment that God gives us through forgiveness brings restoration in all three of these relationships. Okay, the Bible, our owner's manual, is clear that forgiveness is the key relational issue. Relationships break down because of unforgiveness. Breaks relationships down. Everywhere. All over the place. Relationships get broke down because of unforgiveness. Now, if you have your Bibles with, I'd like you to turn to Matthew 18. Actually, I think I have it up here. Yes, I do. Matthew 18. 28. 18. I was supposed to say 18 up there. I put the wrong one up there, I think. Now I want to make sure. Yeah, it's supposed to say 18. Matthew 18, 21 to 35. And I want you to catch this. I got a PowerPoint that I want to go through and explain what is going on in this parable. Okay, then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to 7 times? Now I want you to think, picture Peter. He's all rambunctious and just, you know, and he's very zealous, and he's pretty proud of himself. He came up with the number 7. I mean, should I forgive him at least 7 times? He's all excited about this. And Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to 7 times, but up to 77 times 7, or 70 times 7. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant, therefore, fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. How awesome is that when we can do that to Jesus Christ, and he forgives us our debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? Should we not forgive others just as Christ had forgave us? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers. Some versions say tormentors, some say jailers. But I want us to think of torturers or tormentors. Okay, because that's where we want to go with it. Until he should pay all that was due to him. So how much did he owe? Until he should pay all that was due to him. Then it says, So my heavenly Father will also do to you. If each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. Let's look at this. Here we have the master, which is God. Here we have the servant that owed $1 million. I think I have he owed $1 million. Okay? The servant owed the master $1 million. And he couldn't pay it. So he cried out and begged for forgiveness. And the master says, Forgiven. Done deal. Forgiven. Okay? This servant goes out and has somebody that owes him $1. This is all just for the sake of showing what it is, okay? And this servant says, Unforgiven to the person that owes him a little bit. And he just got forgiven $1 million. Now he's got this debt. And he says, Unforgiven. And he says, Go to jail. Throws him in prison until he would pay back all that he owed. Now, Matthew 18:34 said, And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. So the master took this servant and turned him over to tormentors. How much does this servant owe? How much does he owe? Anyone? What does he owe? Mm-mm. Nope. What does he actually owe? Forgiveness. Forgiveness. All he needs to do is forgive this one. God never takes our sins and puts them back on us, but he will deliver us to the tormentors. All he needs to do is forgive him, and he's free again. That's how it is for us. All we need to do is forgive others, and we're free again. From tormentors. Now watch. Here's what's happening. This servant was a Christian, as we view it in here. His sins were all forgiven him. Jesus paid this. We're going to use this as ourselves now, this servant right here. But we are forgiven through the blood of Jesus Christ. Our sins are washed away. We are changed from glory to glory through the cross. So he is now, God is his master. Okay? By that, there is an umbrella of protection from God over this person when he is born again. God has an umbrella of protection over him. But immediately, if we do not forgive someone else, and we say unforgiveness right here to someone else, God says, I will turn you over to tormentors. You remember how many times we showed last night, talking about, and the night before, about how Satan wants to come in from the outside, and he will start tormenting you day and night. You're a loser. You are worthless. You are nothing, and continue to torment you day and night until you forgive. When you forgive, the umbrella protection's there again. As long as we're willing to forgive, the tormentors cannot torment us. That's exactly what he's saying in that whole parable. He turned him over to the tormentors until he would pay back all he owed. And all he owed was to forgive the one that owed him. All he had to do was forgive. So simple. God don't put our sins back on us. But he will take away the umbrella protection and allow us to be tormented by Satan. Doesn't mean Satan rules us. He just simply torments us day and night until we're willing to forgive. Okay? Forgiveness is a choice. Jesus Christ is a gentleman and does not force us to forgive. However, we will not progress in healing, freedom, and wholeness until we learn to forgive. We must learn to forgive. Okay? It's not a natural thing. It's not of the natural mind to do that. It's not natural. Okay? And forgiveness is not a feeling. Now, all of us have offended God's righteousness, okay, by things we have done, said, and thought. And God always stands ready to forgive us, to erase it all and wash it away. But only if we forgive others, he will continue to pour his blessing out and protect us in forgiveness right here because of Jesus Christ in the cross, if we're willing to forgive others. Okay? Mark 11:26 says, "But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses." And that means simply this: if we're not going to forgive here, and we make a mistake, God's not going to continue to forgive us there if we're not going to release this person. So we're going to stay in bondage and caught up in all kinds of junk until we're willing to forgive. He's not going to put sins on us that we've already got rid of, okay? But if we're not going to forgive someone else, we're going to stumble and fall, and we're going to make mistakes, and guess what? We're going to be punished for it simply because we're not willing to forgive someone else. And until we forgive someone else, do we again receive forgiveness at that point? That's what I understand from Mark 11:26. Okay? Forgiveness defined. To forgive is to release from judgment and give up the right to get even. Give up the right to get even. All right, let's look at a few things now. Forgiveness defined, okay? Let's look at what forgiveness is not, okay? Lots of times we get these ideas in our heads of what forgiveness is and what forgiveness is not. Let's look at a few of them. To understand forgiveness, we'll look at some things that forgiveness is not. Okay, so forgiveness is not a feeling. Okay? If we wait until we feel like forgiving, it will likely never happen. We will likely never forgive if we wait till we feel like it. Forgiveness is a choice of the will, a way of life. God Himself will change the feelings. God Himself wants to change how we feel. We must make the choice first. Okay? Forgiveness is not overlooking the wrong done to us. Okay? Let's look at that. It's not overlooking the wrong done to us. Ignoring something done to me is ignorant. If something happens to us and we ignore that it actually happened, is ignorance. It may feel good to say, "Oh, well, really wasn't that bad." No, no. We must acknowledge that it hurt. And there we can make a choice to forgive and lay it down at the foot of the cross. But ignoring it or overlooking it is actually ignorant. We must recognize it. Overlooking the wrong does not make it go away. This is called repression or denial, trying to push it down and pretend like it never happened. That is not forgiveness. It may feel good, but it's not forgiveness. It may feel righteous, but it's not forgiveness, pushing it down and keeping it inside us. Okay? If there is a stinging pain inside when we remember a past offense, There is probably still unforgiveness there. Probably still unforgiveness. Forgiveness is not excusing or whitewashing. Sometimes we make excuses or water down the offense, trying to tell ourselves it wasn't as bad as it seemed. This justifying or rationalizing is not forgiveness. We're not called to try and figure out inside, rationalize and justify and figure out why it happened or what happened or how come this went the way it did. That's not forgiveness. Forgiveness is making a choice to release whatever happened and whomever it did it to you, to release that at the foot of the cross and say, they owe me nothing. Just release it. Let it go. Okay, forgiveness is not using psychology to understand the offender. Lots of times people think, I can say this, there was a man, I was in New York doing a Bondage to Freedom seminar, and there was a man there come, and he just crying out the one night, and he said to me, he said, I cannot, he was 50, somewhere between 50 and 60 years old. He had been brutally molested sexually by his father as a young boy, though all the children in that family were. He said he had a sister there that was sitting there also, and she was like a vegetable, a zombie. There was no emotion, no life, no nothing. She just sat there and stared straight ahead. Nothing was there. It was empty from the pain of being molested by her own father. And this guy cried out and he said, Dwayne, he said, how could my dad do that to me? And I said, that's not important to figure out how he could do that. I said, we are simply called to forgive. Now, I said, I will tell you this. It is impossible for any man to sexually molest a child except he is driven by a devil. It's impossible. There is nothing natural about it at all. There's two supernatural powers, and it has to be a supernatural force to be able to do that. And one's from God and one's from Satan. And God would never do that. So it has to be from Satan, driven by a devil. So forgiveness is not using psychology to understand the offender. We may never understand why that father did that unless he's open for healing. Okay? But understanding what happened is important. We must understand what happened is important. Understanding and forgiveness are two different things. The focus of forgiveness is not why did it happen, but on the choice to release them. Let's set them free. Not why it happened, but to set them free. The choice to set them free. Okay? That's probably a huge one right there. A lot of people want to try and figure out through in their mind, well, why did they do what they did? Why did they do it? What? Do you ever have your parents do that to you, children? Why'd you do what you did? Do I ever do that? Okay? Now, as adults, we want to do the same thing. And we want to know why somebody did what they did so we can at least forgive them. That's not true. That is such a false concept. We are simply called to forgive. Okay? Forgiveness is not taking the blame for the wrong. Okay? Assuming the blame for what was done against us may feel righteous, but it is not forgiveness. Assuming the blame is not forgiveness. Well, it was probably my fault anyway, so... Well, that's probably why it happened. So that's not forgiveness. That may feel righteous, but that doesn't forgive. Okay, all of these attitudes and ways of thinking block us from true forgiveness. They may seem right or feel right, but they are a cheap substitute for the real freedom God offers through forgiveness. Now let's look what it is. Forgiveness is, excuse me, forgiveness is cleaning the record of those who have wronged me and allowing God to love them through me. Allowing God to love them through me. Cleaning the record and then allowing God to love them through me. Isn't that not what Jesus did on the cross when he died and was beaten? And he said, Father, forgive them. And he wanted God to be able to love all of us through him. That's what forgiveness is all about. Allowing God to love others through me that have hurt me. Allowing God to love others through me. Okay? Forgive immediately, instantly, and quickly. Matthew 6:12 says, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. How many times have you prayed the Lord's Prayer in a righteous, holy manner and never thought about what you're saying? It used to be a ritual, pretty much, and I say that kindly, where I grew up, that every time at the end of a service, they would say the Lord's Prayer. And I have pondered that many, many times since then, if people even knew what they were saying. And they say, Father, forgive us as we forgive our debtors. We are literally telling God to forgive me the same way you see me forgiving anybody else. That's pretty wild. We're actually telling God that when we pray the Lord's Prayer. Forgive me the same way you watch me forgiving all those that are around me. I'm opening my life to you, God, and saying, just forgive me the same way you see me forgiving. Forgive continually. And Matthew 5:23-24 says, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way, and first be reconciled to thy brother, then come and offer your gift. If you know that there is somebody you have wounded, and you want to come to worship, and you know that you have hurt someone, and you need to release them, and you're holding them because you're mad at them, you're miserable, and you want to go try and worship, it says leave. Don't even try. Don't even try. Leave. Go make a phone call, whatever it is, and reconcile. Now, they may reject you for calling them, but you need to release them. If it's even just crying out for the cross, but release them. If there's something that you know you owe someone, you need to do that. Now, and I'm not talking financially. I'm talking about in the brotherhood, in brothers and sisters in Christ, and people that you have hurt. If there's things like that going on, and you know that when you come to worship, God will not accept your worship. He says, go and make that right. And we'll talk about that here later on, I believe it gets into it, where not every relationship is open to healing. But you can find healing for yourself by releasing them if you're bitter at someone, or if you're angry, or if you're frustrated. You've got to get rid of that before God will accept your worship. Forgiveness, forgive completely. Jeremiah 31:34 says, for I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. He wipes it completely away. So should we wipe it completely away. We will often remember how things happen and things that happened. But to remember it no more is that they owe me nothing, and release them completely, fully at the foot of the cross. One of the things that happens that's so difficult for people to do that is they want to forgive the trespass without forgiving the trespasser. Don't work. You can forgive what happened, but you need to forgive the person that did it. Not figure out why they did it, just release them. At the foot of the cross, say, God, they owe me nothing. Set them free. Okay? Forgiveness is allowing God to be responsible for any vengeance or repayment. Oh, that's great. Then when I pray, I'll tell God, hey, go get them. Sick them. Right? No. Leaving it up to God. Okay? Any vengeance or repayment is God. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. You should have nothing to do with that. And if you want to try and tell God how to take vengeance, then you're in the wrong position, because now you're trying to be greater than God. That's not going to happen. And he's not going to hear requests like that. Okay? Forgiveness is facing the pain directly and choosing to release the offender. Facing the pain, whatever happened, facing it directly. Don't skirt around it. Don't try and just go, yeah. Face it directly and then choosing to forgive the offender. Then the A there, you'll see it on page 5. Face the specific wrongs done to you, calling them what they are. The Holy Spirit is very specific on how he speaks to us. I'm trying to think of an illustration real quick to share that. But listen, if you know that you've taken advantage of someone, maybe it's through a job, maybe it's through whatever, but you've taken advantage of someone, and you say, God, you know I took advantage of that person. Stop right there. You need to tell God exactly what you did. Exactly. Okay? Nobody else needs to. You need to tell God exactly what you did. He knows already. Say it like it is. Don't skirt around what happened. Just name it for what it is. Okay? Face clearly. The B there. Face clearly what our wrong reaction was. What did you do, or how did you respond when this happened to you? Whatever it is, whatever that hurt. How did you respond? Did you get angry? Did you curse? Did you swear at someone? What did you do? Recognize it. Face it clearly. What the wrong reaction was. This is generally a strong feeling we had, as such as I got angry, I felt so shamed and worthless. Maybe you didn't get angry, but maybe you just withdrew. Remember we talked about the two different angers, the passive and the active, and neither one's right. They're both as hurtful as any other one. Neither one is right or wrong. They're both got to go. So whether you withdrew into shame and worthlessness, we got to repent of that. Okay, then we want to face the cross. The cross is the point where forgiveness became possible. It is only as we begin to understand what happened at the cross that we truly learn to forgive. This is where forgiveness actually became possible. Now, as you think about facing the cross, you can turn to page 6, but as you think about, we don't want to go there yet. As you think about facing that cross, here's some things you want to mark. I mean, you got the book, but anyway, it says, tell your father what was done to you that actually hurt. What was it? As you're praying and crying out at the foot of the cross, just picturing Jesus there bleeding and dying for you, where forgiveness was made possible, tell your father what was done to you that hurt. He knows anyway. Be specific. He knows anyway. No use trying to hide it. He already knows what we did or what happened to us. Okay? Then you want to, while you're doing this, you want to lay the offender before the throne of God and release them to God. Completely release them. You don't want to hang on to it and try and get even. You want to release them too. I'm amazed at how many people I meet that are able to forgive an offense but never release the offender. We must recognize that. Releasing the offense is a part of it, but we must release the offender. Okay? Then repent before the cross of our wrong response and strong emotions that were not from God or not of God. Okay? Then it's repent of the agreement with Satan and renounce the spirit of sin, commanding it to leave in the name of Jesus. Then ask God to reclaim the blood, through the blood, the ground surrendered to evil. in any type of offense or anything that's happened to us in mind, will, and emotions, in soul wounds, or in fleshly wounds, body wounds. Carry the pain to Jesus Christ and lay it on Him into the lash marks on His back. Isaiah 53:5, He says, "But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed." With His stripes. He bore everything for... You think of the lashes that He got and the way it ripped across His back, and you think about our soul pain and how much it hurts inside. He bore that for us. We're not designed to carry that. We're designed to lay it down at the foot of the cross. He already paid for that, that we don't have to carry it. Satan's the only one that wants us to carry it, to keep us down from growing. He's the only one that wants us to carry soul pain. Okay, let's look at the review, and then we're going to take a little break. Or, no, wait, not yet. No, we're going to keep going here a minute. Forgiveness is not a feeling, but a decision of the will. A decision of the will. And forgiveness is the ointment God uses to soothe relationships. The problem with not forgiving others is that it blocks healing in our own life. Taking blame for what happened to us is not forgiveness. Taking blame for what happened to us is not forgiveness. Okay? Forgiveness is cleaning the record of wrong against those who wronged us. Cleaning the record of wrong against those who wronged us. Forgiveness will allow the same openness we had toward the person involved before the incident, maybe more. The same openness, maybe even more. We will have greater sympathy for them because we now realize they are hurting also. We will have greater sympathy for them because we now realize they are hurting also. Knowing this, we will demonstrate God's love or forgiveness back to them. Knowing that they are hurting also. Remember we said hurting people hurt people. So if you've been hurt by someone, they are also hurting. That's, must recognize that. Hurting people hurt people. It follows right through. Okay, forgiveness modeled. Imagine Jesus completely innocent. Completely. Okay, whipped into a bloody mass, then taken out to a hill to be publicly rejected and crucified. Think what it must have felt like to know the whole time he was completely innocent. Yet while they crucified him in the agony of the moment, Jesus asked that they would be forgiven. Probably one of the hardest things to work through, and I know I've said it before this week, but as a young child that was molested as a baby or a child, and to sit there, and most people, I mean, most times, people want to walk with them in sympathy and continue to waddle in the pain and never seek forgiveness. They just want to get mad at all the people that did it to them. See what I mean? All you're doing is creating more hurt for that person by doing that. If you walk with someone that was wounded and all you do is make agreements with everything that the person did to them that was wrong and make agreements that they had a right to be angry at all this and they had a right to do all this, all you're doing is putting more pain and guilt on that person. We must be mature Christians and walk them out. And the hardest thing to do to a person that was molested as a child, now they're 30, 40, 50 years old, is to help them understand, even though they were completely innocent, they must forgive the offender and the offense just the same as Jesus did. It's no different. If you don't help someone do that has been wounded, you are actually putting them further in bondage. That is the only place forgiveness was made possible, was through Jesus Christ. So to waddle with someone in their pain is actually hurting them more. We must walk them through. Now, I'm not saying you got to grab them and try and walk them through. You need to be their friend. You need to walk with them. But your ultimate goal walking with someone that has been hurt must be to lead them out, not to stay there. They must find forgiveness. And to try and make everybody else pay for what they've done is not what we're called to do. Not at all. Justifying it, the actions of what happened, is not forgiveness. They must, in their own innocence, even though they were completely innocent as a child, they must forgive and release the offender. Is it fair? No. Life is not fair. Neither was it fair for Jesus. Completely innocent. And yet he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He left us a lasting example. Now, how could he do this? Let's get there. How could he do this? I don't know where that came from. Okay, the natural response. Our emotions are seldom correct, but we often base our life decisions on what we feel. Something negative or hurtful comes to mind. Then we feel a strong emotion, anger or resentment, and we make a decision based on the emotion. Remember we talked about that the other night. It was, I can't think what I called it anymore. But action based on feeling model gets us in trouble. Since the feelings are faulty, so are the decisions. The feelings are faulty, so are the decisions. God sees a different picture of what is reality than what we do. Which one do you suppose is accurate? Your idea or God's idea? Which one's accurate? Your idea or God's idea? Sometimes we want to make agreements with our feelings and we feel like we've got a right to get even, or we've got a right to be angry, or we've got a right to do this and that. Who do you think's right? My feelings and the way I feel and the way I think, or the way God says and what he's told us and what Jesus did when he hung on the cross? Okay? It's an unnatural choice to forgive. It's not natural to forgive at all. It's not natural. Okay? My responsibility is to submit my will to God's, to acknowledge that he is right and that his ways work. When I turn from my ways to his ways, this is known as repentance. When we turn away from our ways of thinking and we turn to God's ways of thinking, it is called repentance, because we're going this way on my own way of thinking and we turn around and say, no, I'm going to make an agreement with God. It's called repentance, turning around and facing God and agreeing with his word. Forgiveness is an act of repentance. Remember we talked about that the first night, that when we choose to believe, we receive a gift of faith. And when we choose to, I forget what it was. Does anybody remember? Nobody remember? If we choose to be what? Honest. Honest. Right up front, being honest. We receive the gift of repentance. So when we choose to be honest, repentance is an act of, or forgiveness is an act of repentance. Then we have the gift to be able to repent and forgive when we choose just to be honest before God. Not trying to go straighten someone else out and tell them they need to be honest. No, it's between you and God. Simply between you and God. And dealing with it right there. My unwillingness to forgive means I love darkness. God's ways are light. We must begin by agreeing with God and making a 180-degree turn and choosing to forgive. Because why? Because it is right. Simply because it is right. Not because I feel like it, but simply because it is right. Regardless of the feelings involved, we must turn to God's ways and choose to forgive because it is right. Okay, this is the way God sees it, known in Scripture as truth. Freedom is the result of agreement with God. Okay, John 8:31-32 says, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. And, a bonus, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." That's a bonus to the first part of that section of verses there. That's not a standalone verse. A lot of people want to use that as a standalone, and you must have the first part. If ye continue in my word, and be my, then you are my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now, we want to go to the attitude here. My attitude, and I'm just going to ask that we pray this together, and then we're going to just pause for a quick break. Okay? Let's just say it all together. It's on the bottom of page 9. Okay, this is what we want our attitude to be. So in prayer, we want to ask God to change it. This is what we want to be. This is what we want our attitude to be. Lord, I don't feel like forgiving that person, but my feelings are wrong this time. I choose to submit my will and feelings to you because you are never wrong. I am willing to forgive. Amen. All right, there's where we want to start on page 10. We cannot do God's part and He will not do ours. Let's look at this. Forgiveness process has two parts, and I know we touched briefly on it a couple times. We just never quite explained it all the way. Okay, first of all, it's our choice. Our choice to forgive is the first part. Then God's intervention is the second part. Okay, God's intervention or His grace in our lives. Okay, is God reaching down into human existence and changing how we feel, literally. Remember how we said when we're born again, God takes a piece of Himself and He puts it within you. Okay, now, when we choose to forgive, God reaches into our human existence, in our spirit, changes how we feel in our soul. He wants to change how we feel. We may never feel like forgiving, but until we make the choice, He will also not change our feelings until we make the choice to forgive. Hebrews 11:6 says this, but without faith, whoop, I had it up there, our choice is to forgive God's intervention. Okay? Hebrews 11:6, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Now, you remember when we talked about, in the first night of it was Wednesday night, talked about the gift of faith. What do we get when we choose to believe? We get the gift of faith. Okay? So here we say it. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. Why? Because we have not chosen to believe. Okay? Because it says, for he who comes to God must believe that he is. So we must choose to believe so that we can get the gift of faith. Okay? And then that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. What is the reward? If we choose to be honest, he will give us the gift of repentance. It's a reward, it's a gift to be able to repent and forgive. God will not force us, but he will remove the hook in our life only if we forgive. He will stop drawing us closer to himself if we are not going to forgive. Only when we forgive will he start drawing us closer again. If we have somebody we're not going to forgive, he will not draw us any closer. He'll stop right there. Okay? Freedom walk. Forgiveness is offered to us by God. To refuse it, either in giving or receiving, is great wickedness. Great wickedness. By refusing to receive forgiveness, we're damned to hell. Because to receive forgiveness is to receive Christ. And without him, no man will see God. So by refusing to either give forgiveness or receive forgiveness, either one is great wickedness. Because if we don't give forgiveness, then God's not going to protect us either. He's not going to draw us closer to himself. And we get thrown to the tormentors where we are tormented day and night. Either way, it's great wickedness. Okay? True forgiveness is a way of life. It is offered from God to us, received through Jesus Christ by us, experienced in the Holy Spirit in us, and then extended to others around us. Forgiveness flowing through each one of us becomes a lifestyle of peace. A lifestyle of peace. Now, let's look at it. Forgiving the past. Okay? Here we got the natural. This is the natural response. We receive something negative or hurtful. We receive it. Okay? Something happens to us either in the body or in our mind, will, and emotions. And when something hurts, we respond, we feel a high level of emotion. Okay? Then the reaction is we make a feeling-based decision. We decide to do something or an action. The reaction is based on this high level of emotion. That is always sin. And it must go. We cannot make agreements with that. If we start making agreements with this right here, we will always act out of our way instead of God's way. Always. Because we follow a natural course. Now let's look what forgiveness does. We receive something negative or hurtful. The response is we choose to believe God instead of what we feel. The reaction is we make a decision based on what we know is truth. Remember, we talked about that so many times now, that if we abide in him, then we are his disciples indeed. I don't have the verse right. But then you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Only when we abide in his word. Okay, then we can make a decision based on what we know is truth. And that's what forgiveness does. Now, let's turn over to page 12. Let us go through some of these steps with you. The Bible instructs us to bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Okay? Now, what we want to do here is we want to look at this prayer, and you see where it says specific. I will poke that in Harold's eye. Where it says specific on the left-hand side of your page 12. Okay? And we want to fill this in, and then we want to pray this together. Okay? So look at it first. The first one there where it says specific, you remember that day when maybe my dad beat me for something I didn't do. Or whatever has come to your mind as we've gone through this. Now, some of you have stuff wrote in book number 2, some in book number 3. We'll get to that. But right now, if there's something that's been stirring in your mind as we talked here tonight even, put it in there. Lord, you remember that day when. And remember, we're choosing to be honest before him. And when we choose to be honest, that it hurt, whatever it was, when we choose to be honest, we get the gift of repentance. We can actually repent. when we choose to be honest. Okay? Then the next one is to release the offender. Right now, I bring and put the person's name in there. So if it's something like this here, then it would be my dad. Okay? My dad beat me for something I didn't do, so I'm bringing my dad. Fill it in. Fill your books in. Whatever it is that you'd like to release and be set free from. Remember, nobody else can do this for you. This is simply between you and God. Now we go to the next part. And right here where it says, Father, when this happened, I felt very ashamed, angry, whatever you felt, afraid. What did you feel? Whatever you're writing down, what did you feel? Did you feel worthless? Feel like a fool? You weren't worth nothing? Or you got angry, you got bitter, or whatever you felt. Whatever you're putting in there. Then the next part there is I began to believe. Whatever you began to believe about yourself, I was worthless. I was an idiot. I was whatever. Whatever you began to believe about yourself. And then also, I was angry at, and maybe if it's something that happened from your dad, you may have been also angry at mom. Maybe for not protecting you if something nasty happened like that. A lot of times in abuse cases, sexual molestation, that the father did something, they will also be angry at mom for not protecting them. But if there's another person involved, write it in. I'm not sure if everybody's still writing or if they're just reading or they're. I don't want to rush anybody. I want you to fill it in. If there's something there, we want to fill it in. Okay? Looks like we might be finished with that. Now, if you're serious tonight about releasing a pain or a wound from the past, we want to pray through this prayer together. And I'm going to ask you to come forward and just kneel down at the altar. And we're going to pray through the entire prayer, a section at a time as we go through it, and just release it at the foot of the cross. If there's someone that you know that God has called you to release and to forgive, just get up and come front. We're not going to play any fancy music or nothing. We're just going to pray through it together. Most of us, too many times, we get to a point like this here and we wish someone else would be here so that they would go through this. But if God has spoken to you, I want you to respond. I mean, I don't want you to respond. God wants you to, because we want to release it. And then we want to talk about a few more things about this then. Okay? All right, let's do this. You guys have your books right in front of you. What we're going to do is just, I'm going to say a few words and you guys are going to repeat them. Okay? And then when we get to the blanks, you just state whatever you wrote in there. You'll all do it together. So nobody, it's just between you and God. It's nothing to be afraid of. It's just simply between you and God. Okay? Let's pray. Lord, you remember. You all just say it together. Lord, you remember that day. When, and put in whatever it was. I am coming to you today with this wound. The pain, the lies, I have believed because of it, and my sin of unforgiveness. Right now, I bring to your throne, God, according to your word, I choose to forgive them. I release them before your throne, and as long as I live, they owe me nothing. Father, when this happened, I felt very... I began to believe. Also, I was angry at... for hurting me. And I got bitter at them. Today I bring this as sin, and I lay it at the foot of the cross. I repent of believing lies about myself and you. I repent of my unforgiveness and bitterness through the blood of Jesus Christ. And I renounce the spirit of bitterness. I command that spirit to leave me in Jesus' name. I ask you, Heavenly Father, to reclaim for yourself the ground I had surrendered to evil by this sin. Father, as I release this offense and my sin today, I also bring my pain. You said, Lord, that Jesus Christ, my Savior, was chastised for my peace, and I am healed by his stripes. I desperately need healing. So today I bring this pain I have lived in, and I lay it into the lash marks on Jesus Christ. Please heal me, Father. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for carrying my sin and my pain to Calvary. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Lord, I just thank you so much for just the golden opportunity you've given each one of us through your Son Jesus, that we can forgive, that we can be cleansed, that we can be completely whole when we are honest and repent before you. Father, I just thank you so much, and I pray a blessing on each one of these that have responded and cried out to you. God, would your name be glorified? Would your spirit be poured out upon them, setting them free from any tormentors or any unbelief or any type of restriction that would restrict them from drawing closer to you. God, would you bless them this night in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Here's a book for next if you want it. Here's what happens so many times. How can I forgive when it hurts so much? How can I possibly forgive when it hurts so much? And we revel in our own feelings instead of actually in what God calls us to do. It's easier to revel in our own feelings and think that we have a right than to actually fall on our face before God and repent and allow it to be washed completely away. Now, if you see that on page 13, it says in session 2, you were asked to compile a list of people who wounded you significantly. Go through this prayer with each incident and each person individually, releasing them. Okay? The written prayer itself is not magic, but it is given as a vehicle to facilitate forgiveness. There's nothing in word for word praying that prayer. It's just simply to help us understand how to pray through and release people and release hurts to facilitate that forgiveness. Then also with each painful memory, forgive yourself for your involvement. Then release your pain and tension into forgiveness. Release your own pain and tension into forgiveness instead of allowing it to turn to bitterness or anger. Now, look over on page 14 and 15. There's some verses to memorize, and I want you to think of this here. There is so many things here to tell us. Remember how the diagram I had up there that says how God wants to speak identity to us? When we receive Christ as our Savior and He reaches down into human existence and places a piece of Himself within us, He wants to communicate identity to us. He wants to tell us who we are through His Word. And Satan is always coming from the outside in through wounds in the body or wounds in the soul, trying to convince us of who we are. Look at all these verses here. I am in Christ. I am a new creation. I'm a partaker of His divine nature. A piece of Him living within me. I'm a partaker of that. I am forgiven. I am clean. I am pure. I am holy. I am a saint. I am born again. I am saved. I am the light of the world. Do you know that you're also the salt of the world? Do you believe that? Most times we don't. But we are. Jesus Himself tells us that. I am the salt of the earth. I am the light of the world. God in you. When God puts a piece of Himself within you, you light up. But if we're not going to forgive, that light goes out. Doesn't mean He takes Himself away. He just puts the light up. Because we're filled with tormentors. And the Bible says, I can't think what verse it is, but it says, your countenance then will tell on you. You can tell people that are living in victory and freedom and joy just simply by being around them. If they're angry and bitter, there's a lot of unresentment and a lot of unforgiveness in there. But if they're filled with joy, you'll know it. I think I'm pretty sure it's Proverbs. I better not start making guesses. I'm not sure where it's at. But he made that statement that your countenance will tell on you, and the eyes become a window to your soul, or an eyes become a window to your, yeah, if your eye is full of darkness, your whole body is darkness. So if your eye is full of light, your whole body is full of light. So your eyes can become a window to your soul then. What are you going to focus on? If you're going to focus on darkness, you're going to receive darkness. If you're going to focus on light, you receive light. Focus on God's way, not on my way. Focus on God's way of forgiveness and work and dealing with these things and what He wants to tell us who we are, not on what the world tells us and the darkness of this world tells us. When we focus on light, we become light. When we focus on darkness, we become darkness because the eyes are a window to the soul. Okay? Wrapping up here. Let's look at page 16 yet. Unforgiveness is the ultimate self-victimization. By not forgiving, we are actually victimizing ourselves. Okay, forgiveness is letting the prisoner go. Now here you see the prison cell of unforgiveness. Who's in the cell? Who occupies the cell if you're not going to forgive someone? Me. You. If you're not going to forgive, you occupy the cell. Where is the lock? Where's the lock at? Do you see the lock? There is none, right? No lock. Where's the officer? This is very real to inmates, by the way. They pick this up like bam, bam, bam. Where's the officer? There is none. There's no officer even guarding the cell. What is going on? Here's a good quote, and it's right in your book. It says, "There is no prison so strong, nor one so foolish as the one of our own making." And our own making is by not forgiving. That's a cell of our own making when we do not forgive. "And there is no prison so strong, nor one so foolish as one of our own making." There are several exercises in Scripture that will help free your soul from the clutches of forgiveness. And Matthew 5 says, "But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." This is not an idle statement. It is a direct command. Pray every day in the Spirit for each individual who severely hurts you. Praying for God to bless them has a way of neutralizing the poison of unforgiveness in our heart. Praying for them neutralizes the unforgiveness in our heart. If we actually start praying blessings on people that have hurt us, what does that look like? It's pretty hard to be angry at them after a while. I mean, if we keep on doing that every day. Every day is a new day, so we can pick it up again. Every day we can pick it up and do it again. And every day we can pick it up and do it again. And pick it up and do it again. Every day is a fresh start to be able to forgive. It's beautiful. That's why I believe Paul said, "I die daily." He dies to himself, because in and of himself, he would have wanted to try and get even. He would have wanted to try and do all these things. But in and of himself, he said, "I die daily." Now, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And there's a couple quotes you can read on page 17. I'll read the one. "The way we continually talk about our own inability is an insult to the Creator." Our own inability, by thinking that we're worthless, thinking that we have no value, thinking that all these things, He's actually trying to tell us who we are. And if we're going to make agreements with that, it's an insult to the Creator, our God. "The deploring or the disapproval of our own incompetence," which is our lack of ability. Okay? So the disapproval of our own lack of ability is a habit, is a slander against God for having overlooked us. So if we keep on telling God, "I ain't got what it takes," we're actually telling Him He overlooked us, because He gave us everything we need right here in His Word. And when Jesus died on the cross, He gave us everything we need to forgive, even to everything. Everything. "Get into the habit of examining in the sight of God the things that sound humble before men, and you will be amazed at how staggeringly impertinent or disrespectful they are." Very disrespectful. Like this: "Oh, I shouldn't like to say I'm sanctified. I'm not a saint." Say that before God, and it means, "No, Lord, it's impossible for you to save and sanctify me. There are chances I've not had. So many imperfections in my brain and body. No, Lord, it isn't possible." That may sound wonderfully humble before men, but before God, it's an attitude of defiance. It makes... I remember we talked about that earlier on, about to bring God glory is to what? Make Him look good. So if we're going to say things that, "Oh, I can't do certain things, and I'm not capable of doing that. I can't forgive that person. I'm not able to." It's actually an attitude of defiance before God, who has gave us all things so we can do these things. He's made it possible for all of us to do that. Okay, again, "The things that sound humble before God may sound the opposite before men. To say, 'Thank God, I know I'm saved and sanctified,' is in the sight of God an act of humility." And people say, "Oh, he's just proud of himself." No. That don't matter what people are going to say. In sight of God, it's humility. "It means that you have so completely abandoned yourself to God that you know He is true. Because by saying that, you're saying, 'I agree with what Jesus Christ did for me on the cross.'" That insight in God's sight is an act of humility by accepting that. Before men, it may sound proud, but before God, it's actually humble, because we're agreeing with what His Son Jesus did on the cross. Never bother your head as to whether what you say sounds humble before men or not, but always be humble before God and let him be all in all. Recognizing the truths of who he is and what he has done for us through his son. Now, but over to page 18. Okay, remember the tree we had earlier that had all the roots of abuse, sexual abuse, emotional abuse, physical abuse, all the things that were in the roots of that tree. Now we have a fruit of forgiveness. The fruit of forgiveness is joy, goodness, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, love, ability to receive love, and ability to love others. The roots are, I'm connected with a family of God. I am saved. I have salvation. I understand my sonship. Prayer. I have a root. I am rooted and grounded in prayer, and I am hearing God, Bible. I'm reading the Bible, God's Word, and I understand through the Scriptures who I am, and I have fellowship with other believers. And out of that, the motivating factor is we are in Christ, brings out fruits that are joy, goodness, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, and love. Self-control, I can't think what all they are, but in Christ. Remember the other one with all the abuse, the motivating factor that brought out anger and all the bitterness and everything else was shame. No longer is that shame now, it's in Christ. Listen, when Jesus Christ died on the cross, he didn't just bear our sins and our pain, he also bore our shame. We do not have to be ashamed. We have done lots of things. Of anyone I can think of in my own life, I could walk around with lots of shame. And who would I be glorifying except Satan? Literally. Literally glorifying Satan. God says, I've cleansed you. I've paid for your pain, your sin, and your shame. I bore it all. I bore it all. So I'm encouraging us, pick our heads up. Keep your nose at a friendly angle, but keep your head up. And walk in the joy of the Lord. Walk in fullness of life. That's what he's called us to. No matter if somebody else thinks you're proud, God says, in me, that's humility, because you're accepting what Jesus Christ has done for you, and that is to give you freedom and a newness of life.